time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard.
Hey, top of the morning to you. We're live in Vegas, South Point Sportsbook. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard. This is going to be a lot of fun. Video poker legend and expert Bob Dancer joins us in studio here this segment. A lot to get into with him. Paulie's had some recent success, but also, like, we'll get into this sequential royal that hit that we played for you on the air in the last couple of days. That was like $150,000 at Red Rock Station out here. Crazy how you got a hit in a row like that. Bob, good yep. to see you again today. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for letting me be here.
I have fun coming here. Thank you.
You got it. Thanks for coming in.
How have you, so as a guy who, you know, you've maybe dialed back the video poker playing since the heyday back in the 90s and stuff.
Yes.
But how did you operate and navigate getting through the pandemic out here?
Well, mostly I stayed home. And when I did play, I played graveyard like 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. I'm interested in few people out there. Definitely if somebody else was near me and would not wear a mask, I would ask them to put a mask on. If they gave me any guff at all, I would leave. I'm not, you know, I'm 73 years old. I'm not fighting anybody, but I am not putting myself in jeopardy. And it's wearing a mask to me is not a political statement. It's a public health kind of thing.
Amen.
Which is neither Democrat or Republican.
So how about with the bars opening back up now? Have you been back out there, or you're taking it easy?
Well, I've started to scout. Uh-huh. There were several of my plays that were at bars that I basically, you know, I couldn't play when the bars were closed. And so I have been out to see if the bars were going to be open again. Without naming casinos, a lot of casinos have cut way back on the during the pandemic, and so I didn't know if they would still be the same games with the same meter progression. So, like, if it normally 1% to the meter turned out to be 0.5% to the meter, that would make a big difference as to far as the playability goes. Most of the audience wouldn't recognize it, but I would. So I checked out at a couple of places, and so far they're all what they were. So that's good.
Have you gotten, or do you know people who have gotten, like, again, like the mailers during the pandemic? Hey, we're going to be back open. We need business. Here's some free play. Probably not you, but other people, or have they also cut back on that kind of stuff?
Well, Four Queens had a really nice promotions all during July, August, and September. For to welcome people back to buy the business, which they effectively did. But it was most stations, like, cut their slot club in half and tightened a lot of their machines. So a lot of the casinos went that route. Mm. The Charlie's, Arizona Charlie's, cut way back. They normally would have triple or fourple points every day, and now they have single points every day except a couple times a week. So they're trying to make it through tough times their way, and I don't blame them, but I don't frequent them because I'm looking to make it.
Yep, fair enough. Welcome into the program today. This is Follow the Money here on VSiN. It is the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard in studio with us here early on a Tuesday morning is video poker expert Bob Dancer. Okay, so do you want to get into this right now, then, the sequential, Pauly?
Yeah, this would be
Rock?
Great, because we're talking to the expert here.
Exactly right.
They start. I'll do this because I did the homework assignment.
Yep. Good.
25 cents, 125 a push, quarters. The progressive sequential starts at 12,500.
Yes.
The dollars start at 50,000. The $2 starts at 100. It's up to 250. Is that playable now?
No. Well, it depends on the base game.
Okay. We'll go back here. Okay. First, so sequential, there it is. It hit. It was up to 150,000.
Yes.
And it hit at the Red Rock. And I know you were asked about this and wrote about it. Take it away.
Yeah. When it hit, I got emails asking, number one, was I the gambler who hit it? Because they figure I'm into all these big jackpots, and I go, I didn't even know about it. They asked if it was positive, meaning did the player mm-hmm. who was playing it have the advantage, and the answer is definitely yes. And the question, next question was, if I had known about it, would I have played it? And the answer is not with a gun pointed at my head.
Wow.
This is an awful game. This is it right. Starts out as 6-5 bonus poker, which is 96.8. So if you're playing it 40 hours a week for say 800 hands an hour, then you can expect to lose $1,200 a week, $60,000 a year while you're waiting for this sequential to come. Now, it's going to take you a year and a half on average for one cycle. So if you play a year and a half and you hit it right, you put in $90,000 and you get back $150,000, great, this is super. But what if somebody else hits it? For a lot of people, losing $60,000 a year gets old really fast. I want no part of that. And then there's a lot of interesting plays. So to give you a couple of easy examples, and I'm not going to go through a lot of math because this is radio and television, but like let's say you were Delta straight, but the Jack 10 were in sequential order of Jack 10 of spades, but the Ace, King, and Queen were three different suits. And so the straight is worth 20 coins, which is $5. If you draw the three perfect cards in sequential order, $150,000. Is it better to hold the straight, take your guaranteed $5, or to gamble it up? I'm not asking Paulie what you would do. I'm asking what would a mathematician do?
Okay, yeah.
And also, how would you figure it out? Because there's no software out there that deals with sequential royals that you can adjust things with.
Okay. Mm.
Turns out it's a close play. It's slightly better to keep the straight. But when you start with two cards and have to draw three perfect ones, there's a total of six different royals you could get. Whereas, if you needed an ace, king, queen in sequential order, it could be ace, king, queen. That's a good one. But ace, queen, king is not good. King, queen, ace, king, ace, queen, or queen, ace, king, queen, king, ace. Anyway, there's six of them. One of them hits. Five of them doesn't. Five of them, you get $1,000. Tell me that you're not really pissed with getting a $1,000 royal. And
yep.
And so.
Have you done this? I mean, then maybe it's something you don't even keep track of. And I saw on Gambling with an Edge, you put this up. It was brilliant about. Fascinating about you almost hit the same within a span of like four hours. You almost got the same royal, same suit in order, which you put up there.
Yes, that's true. One was here, one was somewhere else, and that was pretty unlikely. And it was just happened by chance. Wasn't trying for it in any way. But sequentials are a year and a half of full time play. At a really bad game.
Yeah.
Now, Paulie asks the question of when it starts out as like 12,500, that adds about 0.4 to the base game. So 96.8, you add 0.4, well, that's 97.2. You're still nowhere near.
Okay.
Having a decent game. So it needs to get quite high before it is good, and then it's extremely high variance.
Now, how about the internet conjecture about who hit the button? Did you see that story about, because I listened to this on your podcast with Richard Munchkin, Gambling with an Edge, about the incident, the Seminole Hard Rock, where the guy was with a woman of the night, and he had her hit the button for good luck, and then they paid her. So it's whoever hits the button. What do you know about that? Do you have any good stories about, here, good luck, hit the button? Wait a second. They pay out the person who hits the button.
So it was on my podcast, and he asked me if I've heard about it. This is interesting.
No, but about
this is
stories like that.
The particular case in
not the Florida, but yeah, about the internet conjecture about what happened in this particular instance at the Red Rock. There was some stuff about the guy was.
They were on a first date.
They were on a first date, and who hit the button? Someone went to the bathroom. That's what I meant. You smartass.
So I didn't know about that at the Red Rock. On a personal cases, when I was married to Shirley, her mother liked to gamble, and she couldn't, she had no clue as to what to do, but she could follow instructions. So sometimes I would let her play with me, and, you know, I'd be playing $5, $10 machines, and she'd just be so excited. And so before we started, I would talk to the slot shift boss, explain, this is my mother-in-law. We're playing with my money. Whoever is physically hitting, it's my, I pay the losses and I get the wins. Do you have any problem with that?
Oh, okay.
And a couple places says, yeah, we have a big problem with that. You can't do it. And so we didn't.
Oh, okay. All Ooh, right.
Great
Good
story.
Knowledge.
But I ask them first, and mostly, especially if you're a known customer, this is a case where my mother-in-law was considerably less of a threat than I was, so it's good social relations okay. to do it. So,
yeah. Okay. Whose side would you normally take, though, in this case, where they're on their first date, evidently, if they're playing with his money, whatever, the back and forth, hey, why don't you hit a button here? Should that be her money if she hits the button, but they're playing with his money?
Or I go to the bathroom, you continue.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I would suggest he put a cork in it. you don't do that for... you need to have... You need to have an understanding. It needs to be somebody you trust.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
First date.
Tough to trust a woman, yeah. too. I mean, that's...
Trust goes out the window, Bob, on a first
well,
date.
Well, I mean, with my mother-in-law, you know, it's like I just set my wife on her, and she'd get the money, so that was not going to be an issue. But if you're going to be sharing and stuff, you got to have some kind of ability to trust the other person.
Okay, so I need this answer from you. Paulie said the other day on this show that last year, 2019, he had about $1 million coin in, ticket out, whichever way you want to describe it, right? Okay, back, when was your prime? Or when did you play the most? Was it 90s?
I played a lot in the 90s. My 2 years of biggest coin in was 2000 and 2001.
Okay, yeah. So during those years, what would you do on an annual basis for coin in?
Okay, I don't have accurate figures, but it's somewhere between 80 and 100 million.
Oh, my God.
The conditions were different then.
Oh, my.
The conditions were different. We were playing primarily at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. And they have, if you played $1 million coin in a month, you got a better slot club. And so, and the game we were playing was 9-6 jacks, which was 99.5%. Their normal slot club for everybody was 0.43, which plus some extras. But if you played $1 million a month, you were getting 0.57. And so I played all of mine and about 80% of Shirley's $1 million a month. And they were giving away the store. They had some video poker machines listed in the computer as slot machines. So instead of 0.57, it was giving away more than 0.8.
Fascinating part of your book.
Yeah, plus we got airline miles, plus we got year-end points, which you turned into 6 automobiles, plus we got comps up the yin-yang, which we... retailed, plus we...
Let me hop in here for a second. For those who don't know, Bob's been on the show many times, and we have a new audience every single day. I asked you many, many months ago, one time, there's a restaurant that was at the MGM, I don't think it's going to be there post-pandemic, but called Robuchon, right? Joel Robuchon, like the chef of the century. $600 a head, right? It's, I think, the only mission... For a while, I could be wrong. I think it was the only like Michelin-rated restaurant in Las Vegas. It's people flying just to eat there, right? $600 a head. I asked Bob... Could you get comped there whenever you wanted to, basically? You looked at me like I had 3 heads. You're like, could I get comped? Of course, I could get comped 5 times a week if I wanted to.
Except it wasn't there when I was there. But, yes, any of the restaurants for, we could get, I mean, I can't invite the Chinese army, but I could get a party of 8 into any restaurant. Anyone they had there.
Streisand on New Year's Eve, Mike Tyson boxing matches, didn't matter.
2,000 a ticket. Here's 8. No, right. And then the
we had early, right close when I started, I was able to get four tickets to Barbara Streisand, which were $3,000 a night.
Oh, $3,000, okay.
On New Year's Eve for the turn of the millennium. So it was, but yeah, you get play. They were giving you 0.3% in comps, and we were playing, when you play $1 million a month, we play a lot more than that, that's $30,000 in comps a month.
I mean, you're playing like $6 to $8, $9 million a month.
Easily.
Is what we're talking about here.
Yeah, but at other casinos too. But so
how many hours a week?
Well, when they were giving away the store, it was probably 60 or 80. But we were on pace to make probably $400,000 or $500,000 for the year if they didn't change the rules. But fortunately, we got lucky, so we didn't have to settle for that.
And imagine what your what's it like to do your taxes then? And well, you probably have a shoebox of taxables.
Well, yeah, well, that's, you know, you give them a list, an Excel spreadsheet with them all. You know, these are the W2Gs, and they'll just match it up against their list. So, yeah, taxes are not fun, but you have a lot left over.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Would you do your taxes on your own?
No.
Okay. I can't imagine how long it would take to do that.
Well, you're not listing W2Gs individually. You're just doing the
one lump sum?
Yeah, I daily keep my log, which lists how much I played at each casino and what my plus and minus is and what my totals of W2Gs are. Listing all at many casinos, the W2Gs were in a aggregate form, so you just have one number, which represented a lot of W2Gs.
So just to clarify, or to confirm, I guess, when you were playing between $80 and $100 million a year coin in, you would win about $450,000 or $500,000 that year? Is that what you said, or did you mean something else by that?
I said during the year of 2001, if they hadn't changed the rules, that's what it would have been.
Okay, gotcha.
But we got lucky and earned $1 million that year.
Okay, that's right. Okay.
Plug your book. Can you promote your book?
Fascinating.
That's the great part of that run you had where it was just rain and royals.
Yeah, it's fun to be lucky.
Yeah.
Now, I really believe it's better to be good than lucky. But being lucky is a lot of fun, and that was a nice $1 million run, where Shirley and I made more than $1 million in less than 6 months. It's Royals were coming out of the yin yang. We'd been through a dry spell earlier, and we knew we had a huge edge, and we kept losing, but then it turned around. Didn't have to, but it did.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And again, you've lost count at how many Royals you had a long time ago, probably.
Yeah,
it's in the 2000s.
I believe, yes. Yeah, you ask me that every time, and what's the number is now? And I go, well, I didn't know what it was before, but it's nine more than it was then. Or
can you throw up mine from Sunday?
Yeah,
I want to ask you about this. I think it's you would know, but I think it's 250,000 to 1. This was Sunday. That was I didn't hold anything. That was the redraw. Have you done that? What are the odds? Do you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to see what the pay schedule is. I can't read the pay schedule on there. That is...
I don't know.
No, that's a Deuces Wild game.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, it's Deuces. Super times.
And that's the redraw, and he had a natural. Never had a deuce to give him the royal.
It's the redraw or it's the deal?
No, redraw. I threw everything back. I held nothing. I wasn't dealt that.
Okay. Gee, I don't know what the number is. Being dealt a royal is 650,000 to one. A redraw is worse. Because just the fact that you have to include throwing all five cards away, and then frequently... Like in Deuces Wild, if you're dealt an ace-king of off-suits, you throw them away, but that eliminates the chances for a royal in those two suits. So that's a nice hit.
Yeah, pretty good. Stick around for one more segment.
With pleasure.
Bob Dancer, our guest, video poker expert, legend, only between $80 and $100 million for the coin in. Up next, you know, is this going to be a common thing for people coming to Las Vegas? Can they expect a lot more smoke-free environments in places in the city? We'll ask you about that coming up next.
Boost, bonus cash, profit boost. Bet Rivers Sportsbook has them all. Bet Rivers gives rewards with every bet, and you get to use your bonuses when you want to use them, not when they tell you to. And when you want to use your bonus cash, you don't have to play it 50 times to convert that bonus into real cash. One-time playthrough, hard to beat, and you've got it at Bet Rivers. Sign up now. Get a $250 match on your first deposit. All bonuses are one-time playthrough. Visit the Bet Rivers Sportsbook today. Playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Playable in New Jersey as Play Sugar House. The book, Million Dollar Video Poker. Get it at bobdancer.com. It's an incredible read. We loved it. We finished it in a couple days. It's such a great read. You know, I asked you to plug the thing, and you didn't plug it. I mean, I thought you were a genius. What gives? Bobdancer.com, Million Dollar Video Poker. I love that book.
Thank you. It was...
Yeah, you're a treat. I love it. I love it. It's great.
So Park MGM, I like that property. They've done a lot of good things to that, in my opinion, in terms of going there, what they offer, restaurants. They're going to reopen in a couple of days, and evidently the entire place is going to be smoke-free. Is this going to be a new thing here in Las Vegas, you think?
I don't think so.
Okay. Mm.
I would like it to be. I'm personally a non-smoker and wish there were more non-smoking environments in casinos. But casinos have tried in Vegas non-smoking over and over and over again, and it has not worked. Gambling and drinking and smoking are all destructive habits for most people, and if you have one of those vices, you frequently have another. And so I do not think casinos are going to go non-smoking. But unless the state does, which doesn't seem likely. I mean, California has non-smoking casinos, but California is a lot more non-smoking areas than Nevada does. But given the casinos are such a powerful industry in Nevada, I do not see non-smoking happening here.
Have you had a conversation with Michael Gaughan? Will your classes come back?
Probably not in September. Very likely a year from now. So, excuse me, not likely in January. Very likely September of next year.
Okay.
So I'm still on their list. This is still something that they want to do. But it depends on how the pandemic goes.
Can you tell in two and a half minutes? Since last time I saw you, I've been dealt two royals, so I was complaining, and it finally happened on triple play and five play.
Sweet.
Thank you. Tell the story. You've had a couple royals that didn't lock up. It's supposed to hold it for you because it's a jackpot. You get dealt a royal, it locks up. What happened?
Well, one was 50,000. But it was on at a bar, and it was on a machine that was 30 years old.
Jesus.
And so they didn't lock up. So you had to hold it carefully, look at it twice, mm-hmm. make sure you got everything held, and then hit the button, and of course, then it paid.
Where was this? Can you say?
Yeah, it was was one of four. Probably at Ray's, which is Pecos and Wigwam, I think. So they had some very good.
The hell's Ray's?
It's a
How do you find these joints?
I know. Scouting.
Jesus.
There's gambler's bonus system. Up until several years ago, had some over 100% games, and you could bet them up to $50 a hand. And so the Royal was $50,000. So Rays let me hit 30-some of those 50,000 Royals before they decided they didn't want my business.
30?
Get out of
30.
Here.
30?
Yeah.
And how long?
Oh, a year and a half.
Oh, my God.
Bob.
Come on.
You buried the headline for like 3 years now.
What are you doing?
Now. You never told the story before.
Well, I've written about it on my blog a couple times.
Oh,
you never asked about it.
Oh, yeah. What do you send notes? How is this not the lead? Well, come on. Where's this on the notes you sent over? You had 50,000 30 times.
Yeah, that one. But there were some others alive at that time, too. There was not the only place that had those. It was a good little game.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah.
You know, he's hit one in his life? I was talking about this with Bruno. It's impossible. He's hit one in his life.
One Delt Royal? Or
no, one in his life.
Well, how many hours have you played?
I haven't logged like you. I don't know.
He's lived here for 20 years.
I played a lot over 20 years. I'm not Paul Howard, but I like that. You know, I get it going once in a while.
Mostly Royals are luck. And it's however many hours your butts are in the chair.
Gambling with an Edge podcast. Gambling with an Edge podcast. BobDancer.com. Get the book. You'll love it. $1 million Video Poker. The legend, Bob Dancer.
Good to see you, pal.
Thanks
Good
a lot.
To see you.
Thanks for coming in.
Bob.
NBA up next. You might be surprised at how members of the Clippers reacted when Paul George did this after losing Game 7.
What'd you do this week? Yeah? Chuck Edel crushed it, 3-0. You get the daily emails with best bets from all our shows, hosts, and guests. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe. Start your risk-free trial today, VSiN.com/subscribe. Get the 7-day risk trial. You get point spread weekly, 24/7 live video streaming with full replays of all VSiN shows, college football betting guide, 70 cents a day. Every pick, every guest, every host. Come on. And the point spread weekly, which is just dynamite. NFL power ratings, picks, 24/7 live video, VSiN.com/subscribe. I mean, can you imagine hanging out with that guy? Well, I never thought, I didn't think we'd go in that direction, he says.
Yeah. No. Was that a good story? You guys like that one?
$50,000 check.
Before they cut me off or they change their... So I think Bob, he just walked out of here right now. Our buddy Bob, he might be Drew Brees. He might be losing his fastball a little bit.
What happened?
I forgot his mask. He didn't come back and get it.
Oh, that's okay.
No, even he said, he's like, years ago I was sharper. When he was asked, what's your IQ? High. It was higher back then.
High.
He told us off the air.
High.
But the amount of, he's got such, the way his brain works, Paul, I guarantee the amount of stories that he's never even, like, unearthed before. That we've never... How does he just hit us? He's been coming on for 2.5-3 years with us. He hits us with that ride. Really, guys?
And then just read the book of... He made all that money and made the $1 million in a year, but all the comps. I mean, staying at the MGM Villas, the Tyson ticket. I mean, this guy is front row, 4-8 tickets to anything... When MGM is on fire, Eagles, Streisand, Tyson, De La Hoya, whatever. He got like 20 tickets to the ESPYs. I think he hit the $400,000 Royal that night. I think if I remember with the book. But I mean, lucky. I mean, I know he plays all the time, but it's like.
Well, the coin in back in the day when it was really prosperous. I mean, to go coin in $80 to $100 million for a year, for a couple of years in a row, but then to, you know, clear $1 million in 6 months, playing 60 to 80 hours a week.
And he realizes the mistakes and what was going on there. Oh, my God.
Let me give you this. Bleacher Report tweeted this out. After the Clippers lost Game 7, Paul George gave a locker room speech to his teammates about staying committed for another title run next year. Quote, It was met by some eye rolls and bewilderment.
Yeah.
End of quote, per Shams Charania, who also works for Stadium Sports. So he went Mr. Rah-Rah after they got beaten Game 7, gave up the 3-1 series lead. Hey, guys, come on, we'll come back next year. And guys were rolling their eyes. Like, what are you talking about, man? We just got beat.
I don't know. It was you were terrible in Game 7. We just blew a 3-1 series lead. Does that mean you're out after one more year? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Petrified Paul, no longer playoff Paul.
Petrified Paul, like that. Yeah, that's good.
What do you think coming up here?
I like the over tonight.
Okay.
Denver's season on the line. It's been a strange series. And guess what? You can find the Nuggets at like 26-1 now to win the series, although it's 0-2. Four guys have played well in the series, the big four. He's been okay. I guess you know Pope and some other guys knocked down some shots in Game 1. Game 2 was strange. Lakers ran them out in Game 1, no problem. They have the 16-point lead in the second half. Yep. Nuggets, as they were wont to do, make the big run. But still, Lakers up 8 with 2 and change, and then Jokic gets hot, and they look like they're winning a game. And then Davis from the parking lot, and bam, drive home safe, 2-0. So I like over tonight. The first game was a track meet, although this is how it's official. I know you were complaining. Other people were complaining after Game 1 with the free throws.
I don't want to see that. Lakers went to the free throw line 30-plus times in the first half.
Was that Scott
alone.
Foster, too?
Yes, it was.
It was Scott
one.
Foster. Big surprise. Free throws in Game 1, 37-28. A lot of it was early. Game 2, though, Denver 33-19 in the disparity.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a big reversal there in that one. Lakers have not blown a 2-0 series lead since 1969. But 24 turnovers in Game 2. They've got to take care of the ball. And if they do, they'll win, and Barkley will get this one right. They will sweep them. This is the horrible matchup for Denver. The Lakers get whatever they want down low, and then the others have been playing well. But with Denver, who knows? Maybe you get a Millsap, a Craig game. Grant plays well.
That could happen.
Yes, but the way it's going, you just can't. I can depend on Jokic and Murray, and that's it. And that's the only two guys that have played well so far. But having said that, they still could have won Game 2.
Mm-hmm.
They're down 8 with 2 minutes, but they fall asleep, and then Davis hits the 3.
Well, I got news for you. If they grab a rebound late, they win
that
game. So, and now the number is down to 6.5 from where it was in Games 1 and 2. Pretty close, but, you know, that was 7, I think 7.5 for one of the games. Now down to 6.5. Did you notice what our buddy David Thorpe said during Game 2? He said, he tweeted out that, in his opinion, LeBron looked fatigued, looked tired.
Oh.
Maybe that's something to keep an eye on. He still played, I think he had 26 points in that game. I just can't get over it. I mean, Anthony Davis is so good. So good.
Yeah.
And people just can somehow kick. That's like not even like number one thing going for the. It's always about LeBron. Always about him.
AD's awesome.
AD is a top 3, top 5 player in the NBA. This just in. Nobody has an answer for him. He was up for the Defensive Player of the Year, and look at him on offense.
Would you take the points? The season's on the line.
I here's the only way I'm going to bet this game tonight, in play.
Okay.
Only way I'm going to do it, and maybe it'd be one of those things where, if the Nuggets get out to a big lead and you can find a good number on the Lakers to come back and win the game outright, possibly that angle, or if the Lakers get out to another 12, 15 point lead, at that point. But what do you do in Game 3, right? Do you think the Nuggets actually come back and make it close like they did again, or do they realize this is it? We just don't have it to go against this team. How it's playing out. I would think they're going to give it, you know, if they drop down by 12 to 15 again tonight, I'd say.
Yeah, the guys, the TNT guy, yes, I agree with you, and the TNT guys may have nailed to lose like they did in Game 2.
Right.
And then to sit around and stew, and after you're down 3-1, you're down 3-1. Yes, that could happen. Maybe not Jokic and Murray, but the other guys could pack it in if they're down big in this game, and then they will roll over in Game 4. Then it's like, okay, it was fun. Well, let's get swept. That's it.
If they get, you know, if it's a beating tonight and they lose by, I don't know, let's say 10, the Game 4 number, I can't wait to see what that's going to look like.
You agree with the Brian Mahoney tweet. This is like the NCAA tournament. The upsets are great, but once the further you go, it leads to bad matchups. He tweeted that, well, they were up 16 in Game 2 when he tweeted it. Next thing you know, they're losing. The Nuggets almost win, but.
Well, I can tell you.
I wanted Clippers, not just from my pocket. I think Clippers-Lakers would have been epic. Yeah. That's what everyone wanted to see. But, you know, they choked. So.
I'm with you. That's for my wallet. I mean, that sucked. Certainly I wanted to see Clippers-Lakers because I had a future ticket like you at plus 325 on the Clippers to win the whole thing. Interesting. I'm glad that he said that, though, because March Madness is the same exact way. Upsets are dynamite. That's why March Madness has been so good over the last 20-plus years. But then later on, inevitably, inevitably a team like that's going to get blown out. Usually it's how it goes down. Let's follow the money here on VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network. We got to get Jeff Sherman's thoughts on that coming up next. Leading odds maker for the NBA over at the Westgate, but he's a lifelong Lakers fan. I'm guessing that he also wanted to see, you know, money aside here, he probably wanted to see Lakers, Clippers. I could be dead wrong. And I can't wait to get into the Raiders game last night. I bet you they had to get killed. Sharp money, public money, all these props going over. We'll talk to him about it coming up next. Indeed helps you find the high impact hire your business needs fast. You'll find lots of great candidates and no long-term contracts at Indeed.com/high impact. We'll head across town now to the Westgate Superbook as Jeff Sherman, VP of Risk Management, joins the program now at the Superbook here in Las Vegas. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
Great. How's it going, guys?
Well, very good. After last night, can you, you know, we've tried to explain this now over the last couple of days. You've been in Las Vegas a long time. Paulie and I have each been here probably around 20 years. If you go back 5, 10, 15 years ago, how do you even put into words how impossible it was at that point for this city to get a team in the NFL?
It was beyond a thought. I mean, you think of all the other teams that might have been a possibility, which the other teams, even the NHL, seemed like a reach at the time. But the NFL, I mean, first of all, I mean, you had the Las Vegas relationship that was, frigid with the NFL. I mean, from the NFL's perspective, to say the least. But, you know, you had other leagues that or other cities that probably would have been better candidates. You just from just waiting for a professional team that the NFL, every city would want to get one if they didn't have one. Mm-hmm. So from that perspective, you'd think that there'd be other teams in front of the list of Las Vegas, but you know, the one thing that ended up going for it was the room tax that other states didn't have that ability. And you look at California trying to hold on to the Raiders in Oakland and the financial situation there, and it just didn't work out. And Nevada had that ability to pry them away.
Yep. I mean, again, 5 years ago, Tony Romo was going to have a fantasy camp here in Las Vegas, and the NFL said, no, can't do it. Incredible that we got to the point of where we actually were last night to have a game in that stadium. Beautiful stadium, by the way. Were you getting nothing but public and sharp money on the game? And then with all these props, Jeff, last night, Carr going over, Jacobs going over, Kamara first touchdown, he's going over his props. Same thing with Drew Brees. Did you guys get pounded on that game?
Well, first of all, if you look at how the game shaped up and how Sunday went with the favorites winning, you know, we had liability on the Saints. If the Saints had won the game going into yesterday's wagering, that was our worst result. And then we took some sharp money in the morning on the Raiders, drove the line down to 4. We took some more at +4. We went to 3.5. Then we started seeing a lot of Saints money show up at 3.5, a lot of Saints money line money. And then during halftime, we took some large wagers -3 on the Saints. So the game ended up being a really solid result for us with the Raiders winning outright. And then as far as the props went, we actually did pretty well on the props. We had a lot of money on Emmanuel Sanders over, Cooks over, Cook over receptions. So there were some props that worked out for us, even Breeze under his passing yards. So the props were actually really well for us.
interesting. Okay. Yeah, Jacobs going over like that in the third and fourth quarter combined, I think, Jeff, he had 63 yards from, I think, the 528 mark in the third quarter to the end of the game.
Yeah, I mean, that was the game plan, especially with the lead. That's one thing is that they had the lead, so they had to try to drain the clock, and they got him more involved in the second half.
Yep, so before last night then, was Sunday overall one of the bloodiest Sundays that you can recall?
No, not one of the bloodiest we can recall, just because you did have some underdogs covering. If you had the favorites also covering at a clip like they had won outright, then you'd be talking about it up there. I mean, it was really poor. And, you know, in the morning when I was assessing it and I had a few people ask me, you know, which games do you need? I said, we just need one of the 6.5 point or greater underdogs to win outright and we'll be fine. Uh-huh. And we didn't get one of them. And, you know, that's the thing is people say you can say that every week, but, you know, it depends on the matchups, and the matchups going into the week were just such public teaser matchups and money line matchups. And you just knew that going in that we needed to get one of them and we didn't.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Jeff Sherman, our guest, VP Risk Management over at the Westgate Superbook. So money aside here, I don't care for a second here how much money maybe you won on the Clippers getting beat by the Nuggets in the previous series. But as a lifelong Lakers guy, lifelong NBA fan, didn't you kind of want to see Lakers-Clippers rather than Lakers-Nuggets?
I did. I did from two perspectives. First of all, from the book perspective, it would have been probably a better handle than the finals would have been. And that would have been basically the finals, especially in proximity to L.A. So the handle would have been through the roof on that. And, you know, I've been waiting for a matchup, a seven-game series between those two teams after what we saw in the regular season. I thought it would have been a great series. And, you know, you always say that you want to go through the best and beat them. Well, you know, the Lakers at this point now have a title opportunity without having to face the Clippers or Milwaukee, who we thought were, you know, two of the three best teams during the regular season. So, obviously an easier path, but at that point, I would have really liked to see the Lakers-Clippers had played.
What do you make Lakers against the winner of the East series price? What would the game one line be?
Well, we have the Lakers about a $4 favorite over Boston and $5 over Miami. So you're talking about a, you know, well, yeah, I mean, you could look at the futures around right now, and the Lakers are pretty much minus $350 to $4 right now, and they haven't finished off this series. So it's going to be a little bit higher than that. So you're talking a spread in the 5.5 to 6 point range. So it's, and you know, we attract that Laker money. So, and I think, you know, the Laker money is, it's more than just Las Vegas getting Laker money. I mean, especially, you know, the perception of them not having to play the Clippers or Bucks, and they should win the title in people's eyes. So we expect that money to show up no matter who they play.
Well, let me ask you this. How big of an adjustment are we talking about for the Heat? Like, let's say they win this series and maybe it's in five games, maybe it's in six, but if they go back to back and beat the Bucks like they did. I know Giannis got hurt late in that series, but also then take care of the Celtics. What is that adjustment like?
Well, it's like I said, it's going to be Lakers around $5 because we still expect people's perception to line up with the Lakers in that series. So it's going to be, you know, Lakers minus six in that range. And I mean, I adjusted the Heat's power rating. I love what they're doing. I love the direction of the team. But when they're going up against a team that's got LeBron and AD and then people's eyes, that's who they want to side with. It's still going to be not that much of an adjustment because of the action coming in.
Who do you personally give a better chance, numbers aside, Heat or Celtics?
I think the Celtics slightly. I like, you know, just all their young players. And I mean, I think the Heat would rely on there's too much on Hero and Duncan Robinson that might not be ready for that big stage against LeBron and AD, where I think the Celtics with the guys that they had with bringing Kemba Walker in, where the chemistry is better on this team. Marcus Smart plays a hard-nosed defense. I think the Celtics would give the Lakers more fits than Miami would, but not by a large margin. I think it'd be really close. I like both those teams in the East, but I would expect the Lakers to come away with, come out of the series, no matter who they play.
How much did the soccer handle and overall betting on that, and maybe the in-play and U.S. Open in general, maybe take a hit during the weekend when college football, but more specifically, you had all those 10 early games in the NFL going on Sunday?
Yeah, there's no doubt it did. I mean, as far as the golf, the U.S. Open handle pre-tournament was fantastic. I mean, it was right up there. We did more than what we did last year. The in-play did take a hit. You know, we had Eric come in and do it on Saturday and Sunday, and it wasn't as much as about half what we normally do just because of everything else going on. But it's amazing. Like, it's tough for people to keep up with so many things going on at this time.
And, sure,
you know, for a U.S. Open to be going on a football Sunday where, you know, we had sound on the football games, but now you're talking the next one with the Masters, November 12th. And when we get to that, you know, we actually looked at the morning schedule on Sunday the 15th when the Masters final round is going to be, and there really aren't any attractive NFL matchups that morning, and the Masters are going to conclude their round by noon Pacific time. So we're actually going to go with sound on the final round of the Masters over the NFL games that day.
You are.
Oh.
Wow.
Interesting decision.
Yeah.
Ooh.
What do you like, by the way?
Take a look at the schedule that day and give us a game you think would be worthy of it over the final round of the Masters.
I will check that out. Yeah, Paulie brought this up, by the way, earlier in the week. How about this now? The next two majors that we have, like in the next 5 months, well, from November till April, back-to-back Masters.
Yeah, it's so unique. And, you know, that's the one tournament that if Tiger is going to win a major again, actually he could win a British Open just because of the way that the weather draw comes out and the favorability of that. And, you know, we almost saw Tom Watson do it at his age. So there's a chance he could win that, but I don't think Tiger can ever win a U.S. Open or PGA again. But the Masters is the one tournament, you know, a smaller field, course he's used to. You can throw out half the names in it. So you got back-to-back ones, and I made some adjustments to his career major win props.
Oh, you did? What'd you do?
I mean, he's running out of time.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I lowered the underprice and favored that more. And he's running out of time to really get one of these things. And you know, you especially look at the talent pool, and you got DeChambeau with what he's doing. Like, how can he keep up with a guy like that when, you know, the one thing that, you know, and I was fading DeChambeau in matchups in the U.S. Open. I didn't think that the way he was playing and airing off the tee, and I thought he was going to be in the rough all day, but, you know, he just absolutely overpowered the golf course. So even when he was in the rough, he still was able to get out of it and put himself in good positions. And, you know, the direction that it's going, you're going to have to start handicapping these U.S. Opens a little bit differently because you got guys like Matt Wolf and DeChambeau that can just, their length, they can just overpower the course, not be in positions where shorter off the tee in the rough, it really, they're hindered on their next shot. But, you know, it's a different golf game right now.
Yeah, you're spot on. Follow Jeff on Twitter. He is at Golf Odds. Good to talk to you as always. Have a good week.
All right, thanks, guys.
Paul, your thoughts on that? NBA Finals, Lakers minus $4 over Boston, minus $5 over the Heat.
Jeez, poor Von Tobel can make the finals. He's going to have to lay a big price to hedge.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's surprising.
Who do you give a better chance to win?
Miami.
Numbers aside.
Miami.
So do I.
Yeah.
So do I. I think matchup-wise, the only problem is how quickly is a guy like Adebayo going to be in foul trouble? If they call a clean game, yeah, he's the one guy, right, that can, I think, match up on Davis maybe a little bit, give him some fits. But overall, deeper team, can get guys off the bench. I can't wait for game 4. I'm way more excited about game 4 of that series than I am for tonight.
Especially with Hayward coming back.
Yep.
Yeah, we might have a series.
All right, let's follow the money. Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Paulie Howard, up next. We will recap Monday Night Football and some good questions posed by Pro Football Focus. After 2 weeks, they're asking if this team needs to make a move at quarterback.